So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. This is our fourth day looking at the book of Ephesians. And it's normally, as is normally our way, we're going to begin with prayer. So let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we ask that you'd help us to understand what it says. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, we ask that it would make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. For his sake we ask. Amen. So we're looking then at Ephesians chapter 1, and we're looking particularly at verses 15 to 17. So let me read those to you. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. So the Apostle Paul then is excited about the way that God works in people's lives. He's just given us some 14 odd verses all about the way that God's at work in his church, God's at work in the lives of his people. And as he delights or gets excited about these things, he delights to hear of the grace of God at work in others. He loves to see that. And whenever he has the chance, he comes to God with requests on their behalf. And there is probably a lesson for us just in there, isn't there? Just in that understanding of that, that we too should be excited about the grace of God in other people's lives. And the thing that Paul has noticed about the believers in Ephesus is how they show God's grace at work in them by displaying their love to other believers. So something in the way that they live, something in the things that they do has stuck in Paul's mind as he thinks about them and thinks about the way that they work for the good of others. And this outworking of their faith and the grace of God causes him to give thanks. Well, it's all too easy, isn't it, in life to become, in life and in church life most particularly, to become jaded and cynical. And when we are like that, not much thanksgiving flows from our lips. If we instead of, you know, getting so jaded and looking and always questioning people's motives and all those kind of things, if instead we look for what God is doing in people, we too might be caused to give thanks more often and more readily. Well, as Paul remembers the believers in Ephesus, what is it that he prays for them? What is it that is primary in his mind? Now, we might pray, won't we? If we pray for another church or for another group of believers, we might pray for success in their ministry. We might pray for greater blessings, or we might pray for more workers to come and help them. And while none of those things is wrong, those things are good things to pray about, they are not what Paul begins with. You see, as Paul begins to pray to God on behalf of the Ephesian believers, his primary prayer for them is not about ministry, success or otherwise. His primary concern is for their relationship with God. Now, before anything else, he asks God the Father that he will grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Really, what he is praying for is that the Holy Spirit who dwells in them would grant them to know and understand the things of God. And you might be saying, yes, that's it. You are saying, just like a good salesman needs to know the products that he is selling to do well in selling his product. That's it. More understanding to tackle the difficult questions that others will bring up when you speak to them about Jesus. Well, no, that's not it at all, is it? That's it. That's not what Paul's getting at. Paul wants the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not so that they might be full of knowledge, but so that they might know God better. Now, many of the mistakes that we make, many of the errors that we make in our lives come about because we do not know God well enough. By that I mean we make assumptions about what God likes and what God dislikes. You know, if you sit in a room of Christians and you sit and you take part in a Bible study, and if you ask around that room, you know, what is God like to them, there'll be some standard things that come out, but there'll be some very interesting ideas about God's grace and his love, most particularly about God overlooking sin, all kinds of things like that that come about because of either of a lack of knowledge or a lack of wanting to know the Lord Jesus Christ better. Now, if we were rescued from certain death, in this life, you know, so maybe we're having, we were involved in an accident and someone comes along and drags us from the car and saves our life, or a whole range of different things that we might be rescued from. If we were rescued in that way, we would want to know what our rescuer was like. We would be bothered if we couldn't find that person to thank them, and we would be bothered if we couldn't get to know that person better in some ways. I remember back many years ago, where there used to be a program called 999 on the TV, and you would see all these rescues take place, and often those who have been rescued had formed relationships with those that had done the rescuing. We would like to get to know them. We would want to consider them friends because of the impact that they'd had on us. Well, how much more so the one who has rescued us from an eternity in hell? You know, that's what Jesus Christ has come to do, isn't it? He came to rescue a people for himself. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't trust in our own goodness, but we trust on his goodness, then we are rescued from that certain eternity in hell. Well, how much more so the one who has made this world and everything in it? As we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think about God and his work in this world, we consider what he has made and the wonderful creation that we enjoy from day to day. How much more so the one who has given us his righteousness that we might be able to stand on the day of judgment. So, you know, we've been rescued to an eternity with God, but we've also been rescued from that judgment so that on the day of judgment, when we stand there, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is put to our account, and we will not have to stand there trembling as to whether we have made it through, but we will know that we have made it through because we have the righteousness of Christ. So how much more should we want to know him? How much more so the one who has given us all things in Jesus Christ? We should want to know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We should want to know them thoroughly and have them at work in our lives. Today we pray then that God will reveal more of himself to us, that we might have more to praise him for. We pray that having discovered more, we will have the wisdom to apply that knowledge to our lives so that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In your busyness, let me plead with you today that you do not forget to spend time in the presence of Christ. Because as you spend time with him in his word and in prayer, so you grow in your understanding of him. You grow in your love of him. You grow in your delight of all that he does. And that can only ever make us more like our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It can only ever equip us to deal better with the life that he has called us to live. So I pray that that's the reality of your day this day. Let's pray. Glorious Father, as we have thought about this morning, we pray that you might help us to know you better, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be thrilled by the work that he has done in our lives and continues to do in our lives. We ask that we might understand more of the love of the Father to send forth the Son. And Lord, we pray that we might even know more of the Holy Spirit as he points us to the Lord Jesus Christ and helps us in this life to live in a way which brings glory and honour to you. So grant us your grace in all of these things, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.